my first time doing something like this. I taught Sunday school many times. Can anybody hear me out in the cars? Can you hear me? All right. That's what I like. Wonderful. Thank you very much. What I want to bring to you today is actually a message of encouragement. I want you to see how God is working in our lives, in our world today. It's a little bit different kind of message. It's something that you don't often hear about in church. But the title of my message is called Returning to What Used to Be. We're going to look at a couple Bible verses as we go through here, and I think you'll be able to see what I'm talking about as we go on. Returning to what used to be. I want to put a little plug in here if you want to know more about these things that I'm going to be talking about here. I'm going to be showing a video in Sunday school which will explain a little bit more or get a little bit more into depth, and you can see what I'm talking about if you choose to join us. But anyway, there are three things I'd like to talk about today in this context of returning to what used to be. I'm going to look at it from the whole world. I'm going to look at it from an individual standpoint. And then the most time that I'm going to spend today, we're going to look at it from an Israel standpoint. The whole world, if you look at the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1, 31, I got my Bible on my phone, so that's what I'm using. I'm using the New International Version. But Genesis 1, 31, the end of it, yeah, obviously, 31, verse 31, this is after the creation. God made everything in the first 6 days. When he was done, God saw that all he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning of the sixth day. So when God made everything, he called it very good. In other words, everything was in perfect harmony. Everything was made perfectly, and things worked just like God intended. Now, if you go to the next chapter, Genesis 2, in verse 15, we see that God, the Lord God, took the man that he had made, and he put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. So God made the earth, God made the garden, and took man and put him into it, into this perfect environment. Now, if we go to the end of the Bible, and we look at Revelation 22, all the way to the end. Get the right chapter here. Revelation 22, 1 to 5. It talks about Eden being restored. So we go from the Garden of Eden back to the Garden of Eden at the end again. And this just kind of gives you a picture of the Garden of Eden. It gives you, it got the rivers, the tree of life, just as it had in the beginning. It's also a picture of heaven. And then verse 22, 13, we go down to verse 13. God says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So I'm just trying to illustrate that God does not change from the beginning to the end. The Alpha and Omega, for you maybe that do not know, is the beginning and the end of the Greek alphabet. Alpha is the first letter, Omega is the last. You might be able to put in there A to Z. But yes, God is in the beginning, God is at the end. Now that's on the whole world scale, okay? We're in between there somewhere today. Now, I'm an individual, returning to what used to be, I'm simply going to say that we're all born into sin. And we all long for them days of no suffering, no death, no pain, no worry. And each of us can all know those feelings. But what does Jesus say? I stand at the door and knock. Will you let me in? In fact, one of our stained glass windows has that picture right there on it. I stand at the door and knock. Will you open the door? Will you let him in? We hear about that often from James, our pastor, that aspect of it on the individual basis. Now, where I want to spend most of my time is on Israel. What's happening? What does the Bible say is going to happen? And what is happening? Let's look at Matthew 24. Matthew 24 says, verses 1 and 2. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to the buildings. Do you see these things? Jesus says. Truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. When did that happen? The year was 70 AD. About 40 years after Jesus was on the cross, the Romans came in, obliterated Jerusalem. That's what it looks like today. The stones are knocked down. They keep digging through them, trying to find artifacts. Or and then we go down to 24, 32 to 35 in Matthew also. And Jesus says, now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know summer is near. Even so, when you see these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Earth and heaven will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Jesus is telling us to look for signs. Just like the leaves are coming out in the trees, you know that summer is getting closer. It's warming up, although not today so much. They tell me toward the end of the week it's supposed to be 80 degrees. Summer is getting closer. On the farm, we're starting to do field work. We planted alfalfa, we planted some soybeans. getting the corn planter ready. Summer is getting closer. So, what are some of these signs? And that's what I want to get into here. What are some of the signs that we're seeing that are coming up? I want to go to the book of Leviticus. This is one of the books of Moses. This book was written many years ago. If I can find it here, it's in the beginning of the Bible, third book of the Bible, in fact. I'll look at Leviticus 25. Leviticus 25, 8 to 17. This talks about the Jubilee. There's somebody in this room, in this corner here, who has a store or works at a store called the Jubilee. But anyway, this is a little bit different Jubilee. A Jubilee, in verse 8, count off 7 Sabbath years, 7 times 7 years, so that the 7th Sabbath year, about the period of 49 years, then have the trumpet sound everywhere on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. Sound the trumpet throughout your land, and concentrate the 50th year and proclaim it liberty throughout the land and all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. Each of you will return to your family's property and to your own clan. The 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. Do not sow, do not reap what is grown of itself and the harvest that is untended vines. For it is a jubilee and it is holy for you to eat. Eat only what is taken directly from the fields. In this year of Jubilee, everyone is to return to their own property. If you sell land to any of your own people or buy land from them, do not take advantage of each other. You are to buy from your own people on the basis of the number of years of Jubilee, and they are to sell you on the basis of the number of years of harvest crops. When the years are many, you increase the price. When the years are few, you decrease the price, because it is really being sold the number of crop years, number of crops. Do not take advantage of your others in your group. So basically, if you keep on reading down through there, it is an economic reset. It is a year of Jubilee. It is a year that you get back what you have lost over the time period. It is a time when if you became a slave to another family because of destitute or whatever, the year of Jubilee, you went back home. If you sold some ground to another member on the year of Jubilee, you got that ground back. If you, and it gives a different instances when you read down through here. It was an economic reset. Okay, how often did it happen? It happened every 50 years. So, if you wanted to rent the field down there, you figured out when's the next Jubilee, and you figured the price on how many years you would be able to rent that till you lost it. It went back to its owner. The more years, the higher the price. The lower, less years, the lower the price. That type of thing. Okay. How does that relate to us today? Well, it was sounded, the priests went out and proclaimed it, the year of Jubilee. And they blew these things called trumpets or shofars when it occurred. Like I said, it was an economic reset and it happened every 50 years. Okay. After Christ, through Israel, the people got dissipated. After Christ, Israel was disseminated. The people were spread all over the world. It predicted that. We went through some of that in some of our Sunday school lessons. It was predicted that that would happen because of the sin of the people. Well, in 1867, there was a guy by the name of Mark Twain. This guy, we call him the father of modern journalism. He took a cruise over to the Promised Land, over to Israel. He wrote about it in a book called The Innocents Abroad. But what we get out of this book is what he saw when he got there. Israel was a desolate place, a place of desert. Nothing grew there. Nothing, there was nothing there other than a bunch of rocks and mountains. But who controlled Israel at this point, this time of history in 1867? Who controlled that area? That area was controlled by the Ottoman Empire. The Ottoman Empire was headquartered in Turkey. Well, same time that Mark Twain was over there, a guy named Charles Warren from, I think it was the UK, or from Britain, was over there too. Mark Twain called the stranger. Charles Warren was called the guy with the measuring tape. Both of them were looking for Jerusalem. Both of them were there at the same time. And they did not know each other, or know each other were there. They found the city walls. You go ahead 50 years. 50 years is 1917. 1917, what was going on in the world? It was World War I. World War I, the Ottoman Empire collapsed, and now British controlled that area. And the British made a called the Balfour Declaration with the Jews. They said they could come back. They could come back and they would not be driven out like the Palestinian people were doing it. You go ahead another 50 years, you get to 1967. So at this point, the people are coming back. You got Israel, the UN then proclaimed Israel in 1948 to be a nation, and then the British left them go. But then in 1967, 50 years after 1917, they got Jerusalem back. Before this, they did not have Jerusalem. They got their city back. Maybe some of the older folks here remember the Six-Day War in 1967. What else happened in 1967? 1967, the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. I gotta understand, Dead Sea Scrolls were put in caves over there about 200 years before Christ. The earliest manuscripts we had before the Dead Sea Scrolls were formed were from about 1,000 years after Christ. That's the earliest we had today. And they were just little bits. They found these Dead Sea Scrolls. They looked at the book of Isaiah, and guess what? Word for word to what we have today. The Hebrew. God does not change. God's word does not change. It hasn't changed. He promises it won't change. So you got Jerusalem coming back, just like back in the book of Nehemiah, when the Babylonians, when they came back from Babylon to rebuild Jerusalem, one of the first things they did was start get the word out, and they started reading the word. Here it is again. Jerusalem's back, the word comes back. Go ahead another 50 years, and we get to 2017. And that wasn't that long ago. 2017, we had a president by the name of Trump. One of the first things he did was recognize Jerusalem as Israel, as the capital of Israel. So he put a stamp on it from the world power of the world. Put a stamp on that Israel, that Jerusalem is the legal capital of Israel. Moved his embassy, moved the United States embassy into Jerusalem out of Tel Aviv. There's more to this. The trumpet blows each time. The last trumpet was President Trump. He blew his horn all over the world. You know that as well as I do. Another sign that we're seeing right now is Ezekiel 37. If you go to the book of Ezekiel, where is it? There it is. Go to chapter 37. In verses 11 and 12, talking about the valley of the dry bones. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy to these and say to them, this is what the Lord, Sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you back up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Is that happening? Yes, the Valley of the Dry Bones can be looked at as the Holocaust. The Valley of the Dry Bones can be looked at as the all the Jews that got killed in Russia under whatever his name was, Stalin. And the Druze, through this persecution, are being pushed back to Israel. To the land of their forefathers. We look in 13 and 14, verses 13 and 14. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. Why is God doing this? So that you may know that I am the Lord and doing it. They're not doing it. People aren't doing it. There ain't no leader doing it. God's doing it. God's doing it. You got to realize Ezekiel lived during the time of the Babylonians during the Babylon exile. That was 500 years before Christ. Yet, written exactly what's happening today. Go to verses 18 and 22. Here, Ezekiel's holding some sticks. On the one stick, he has Joseph. On the other stick, he has the Israelites. These sticks represent the two nations of Israel back in the day. It talks about Judah and Israel. He takes these two sticks and he puts them together in his hand. They're going to be one. They're going to be under one king. That's how things are today. There's no differentiation between which tribe the Jews belong to, if they belong to the tribe of Benjamin or the tribe of Gad or the tribe of any of the other ones I can't think of off the top of my head. No, they're one. They're one. And he predicted that that's what's going to happen. One nation. Now, if you jump over to the next chapter, Ezekiel 38... And we look at verses 10 to 13. There's a war coming to Israel. And that didn't come yet. But when we read through this, we can see how Israel is, as a nation, is before the war hits. In verses 10 to 13, we see some of this. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. On that day, thoughts will come into the mind, and you will devise an evil scheme. This is actually talking about Gog and Magog, who's going to be leading the war. You will say, I will invade the land of unwalled villages. I will attack a peaceful and unsuspecting people, all of them living without walls and without gates and bars. I will plunder and loot and turn my hand against the resettled ruins and the people gathered from the nations, rich in livestock and goods, living at the center of the land. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish and all her villages will say to you, have you come to plunder? Have you gathered your hordes to loot and to carry all silver and gold and take away livestock and goods and to seize such plunder? So from that you can see that when they get attacked in this war, Israel will be safe. They will have unwalled villages. They will be a people of peaceful. They will be unsuspecting. They will be living at the center of their land. I mean, if they're at the edges, they keep on getting bombarded from either the Hezbollah in Syria or the Gaza Strip or whatever. So they kind of live in the center. They're living at peace with their immediate neighbors. We saw that in the last couple of years here with the peace accord between Israel and the Arab nations around them, like the UAE and Bahrain and Sudan. Many of them instituted when Trump was in to broker that. They will be standing alone when the war hits. Nobody's going to come to their aid. But God will protect them. that's predicted out of war here. And why? We see that in the last sentence on verse of the chapter 38. Why? Why is this war going on? Why is this war going to come? Then they will know that I am the Lord. So why do we have things going on in the world like we have today? So that you will know that I am the Lord. So all I got to say is keep looking up, because God is still in control. Thank you.